Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Karen Ho's Liquidated, An Ethnography of Wall Street is a work of economic anthropology that studies the culture of investment banking from the inside. Drawing on participant observation and more than 100 interviews, Ho examines how Wall Street institutions recruit, train, reward, and discard workers, and how those practices shape broader financial behavior. Rather than treating finance as a purely technical domain, the book shows that its decisions are embedded in social norms, elite identity, and organizational pressure. Ho focuses especially on the culture of smartness, long hours work, shareholder value, employee insecurity, and compensation systems that reward short-term outcomes. The result is a critical portrait of how Wall Street's internal values help normalize downsizing, deal-making, and risk-taking patterns that have consequences far beyond the firms themselves. The book is both an ethnographic study and an argument about how financial institutions produce instability through everyday workplace culture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Wall Street recruitment and the making of elite investment bankers. One of the book's central concerns is how investment banks select and socialize new employees. Ho shows that recruitment is not only about technical skill, but about matching candidates to an elite culture built around intelligence, pedigree, and the ability to withstand pressure. The book describes a pipeline that privileges a small set of prestigious universities and reinforces a sense that bankers are exceptional. This matters because the hiring process is not neutral. It helps create a workforce that already sees itself as distinct from ordinary labor and from the broader public. Ho argues that this self-image feeds later behavior, making bankers more likely to accept aggressive norms, competitive sorting, and emotionally detached decision-making. Recruitment, therefore, functions as an organizational filter that produces both social exclusivity and institutional loyalty. The broader implication is that Wall Street culture begins long before any deal is made, because the identity of the banker is carefully constructed through elite selection and repeated validation. Secondly, the culture of smartness and hard work as a moral system. Ho treats smartness and hard work as more than personal virtues. They operate as a moral language that organizes status on Wall Street. Bankers are taught to see themselves as unusually capable, efficient, and deserving of high rewards because they endure punishing schedules and intense scrutiny. This culture turns long hours and exhaustion into proof of merit, even when the work itself may be repetitive or socially costly. By framing relentless effort as a sign of worth, firms normalize overwork and competition while making it difficult to question the system. Ho's analysis is important because it reveals how workplace ideology can turn domination into disciplined employees, internalize the values that keep them compliant. The result is an environment where people measure themselves and others through productivity, pedigree, and toughness. This moral system also supports elitism, because those who do not fit the model are treated as less capable or less serious. In Ho's account, the culture of smartness does not just describe Wall Street, it actively reproduces the hierarchy that makes Wall Street function. Thirdly, shareholder value and the short-term logic of financial decision-making. A major argument in the book is that Wall Street's embrace of shareholder value reshaped corporate behavior toward short-term gains and constant restructuring. Ho traces how investment banking came to promote the idea that companies should maximize value for shareholders above all else, even when that means downsizing workers, selling off divisions, or prioritizing immediate market response over long-term stability. This framework matters because it presents financial decisions as objective and necessary, while hiding the social costs behind the language of efficiency. Ho shows that the shareholder value revolution is not simply an economic theory. It is an institutional ideology that justifies aggressive deal-making and treats companies as bundles of assets to be rearranged. The book connects this shift to broader changes in American capitalism, especially the growing authority of finance over industrial corporations. By emphasizing how investment bankers helped circulate this logic, Ho explains why so many firms adopted strategies that benefited executives and investors while destabilizing workers and communities. The chapter's significance lies in showing that market behavior is shaped by cultural and ideological commitments, not just by neutral calculation. Fourthly, employee liquidity. Downsizing and the normalization of insecurity, Ho introduces the idea of employee liquidity to describe Wall Street's celebration of hiring, firing, and redeploying workers with little attachment to job security. In this environment, layoffs are not treated as failures of management, but as signs of discipline, adaptability, and seriousness. The book argues that this attitude reflects a deeper contradiction. Bankers praise liquidity in financial markets and apply the same logic to labor, turning people into flexible inputs rather than long-term members of an organization. This is a crucial theme because it shows how insecurity becomes culturally valuable. Employees are expected to prove resilience by accepting instability, and firms use that instability to maintain pressure and compliance. Ho links this practice to the broader downsizing culture of American corporations, where job loss is reframed as efficiency rather than harm. The analysis helps explain why Wall Street's labor practices are not separate from its financial practices. Both are organized around the same willingness to break apart commitments in the pursuit of immediate advantage. The book's insight is that insecurity is not accidental in finance, but a normal and celebrated feature of the system. Lastly, compensation structures, risk, and the production of unstable markets. The book pays close attention to how compensation systems shape behavior, especially when employees are rewarded for closing deals rather than for the long-term outcomes of those deals. Ho argues that this structure encourages short horizons, aggressive risk-taking, and a strategy of no strategy, where the main goal is to maximize immediate profit for the firm and the individual banker, because bonuses and status are tied to visible transactions. Bankers are incentivized to pursue large deals even when the future consequences are uncertain. Ho's ethnography is especially powerful here because it links everyday workplace incentives to macro-level instability. The unstable market is not presented as an external accident. It is produced by the repeated alignment of incentives, ideology, and organizational pressure. This explanation helps readers understand why financial crises can emerge from apparently rational firms operating within a competitive system. The book does not argue that bankers are uniquely immoral. Instead, it shows how the structure of compensation and evaluation channels behavior toward outcomes that look successful in the short term while generating long-term fragility for firms, workers, and the wider economy. In conclusion, Liquidated is best suited for readers who want to understand Wall Street as a social institution rather than only as a financial marketplace. It will be especially valuable to students and scholars in anthropology, sociology, American studies, political economy, and finance, as well as professionals who want a sharper view of how workplace culture shapes economic outcomes. The practical benefit of the book is that it makes institutional incentives visible. Readers come away with a clearer understanding of how hiring practices, bonus systems, elite identity, and downsizing norms reinforce one another. Its intellectual value lies in showing that finance is not simply driven by abstract models or individual ambition, but by a highly structured culture with its own moral vocabulary and habits of thought. Compared with many books on the financial sector, Ho's work stands out because it is ethnographic. It does not merely criticize Wall Street from a distance. It explains how the system is lived and reproduced day to day. That grounded perspective makes the book especially useful for understanding why financial instability is so persistent and why reform is difficult when the underlying culture remains intact. If you would like to support Karen Ho, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.